Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The Bank of Canada paused in its rate hiking cycle in January, but then hiked rates at its last meeting. Likewise, the Royal Bank of Australia paused in April, but then had to start hiking again in June. The Fed was predicted to go on pause mode at its June meeting, today's meeting, and it did indeed choose to skip a June rate hike. This was the case even though core inflation rose 0.4% month over month from April to May and was still up 5.3% from a year ago. But Powell is a feckless individual indeed. While temporarily pausing in June, he also at the same time indicated that there would be two more rate hikes this year instead of just one. The Fed's dot plot shows the terminal rate is now 5.6% by the end of this year and will be reduced to only 4.6% by the end of 2024 instead of the 4.3% predicted at the last meeting. So, if Powell is now trying to convey to the market that the Fed is leaning more hawkish, then why pause at all? It just seems completely antithetical to me. But that's what he did. That well-anticipated pause, which was already helping to boost equity prices so far this year, is now predicting to bring another rally in the equity market, much like the previous Fed pauses. In fact, there was a tweet put out today from Steno Research and Bloomberg titled, "Fed pause equals melt up." Let me say that again. Fed pause equals melt up. And that indeed has been true in the past. I will concede that. For example, the Fed paused in June of 2006 and the equity market did not top out until the late summer of 2007 for a gain of about 20%. This was true even though the global economy was careening towards the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Of course, the Pavlovian pigs on Wall Street are trying to convince investors that Fed pauses will always equal an equity market rally. And this time around will be business as usual. But please, let us not keep our eyes closed to what is materially different this time around as opposed to previous periods when the Fed funds rate reached a substantial apex. The last time the Fed paused hiking, the Fed funds rate anywhere near 5.25% was, not so coincidentally, during the prelude to the Great Recession and financial crisis, which began in December of 2007. But as mentioned, the market still was able to rally for another year. However, this time around, the Fed is pausing with a quantitative tightening program in place. These are the differences between June of 2006 and today. We have a significantly inverted yield curve. The index of leading economic indicators is crashing along with the National Federation of Independent Business Optimism Index. The Institute for Supply Management's Manufacturing Index is in contraction territory. The M2 money supply is plunging, and the net percentage of banks tightening lending standards is soaring. And we are in the middle of an earnings recession now as well. None of those conditions were in place during the 2006 pause. That's quite a list. Here are some important details about those vital indicators. In June of 2006, the yield curve was inverted by just one lousy basis point. Today, it is inverted by 90 basis points. The most significant inversion since 1980. The index of leading economic indicators was barely below zero in 2006. It is now down by negative 6%. The index of leading economic indicators, LEI, is crucial because it monitors the credit markets, building permits, average weekly hours worked, initial jobless claims, manufacturing new orders, and consumer expectations for business conditions, all vital to the economy. The NFIB Small Business Optimism Index was around 100 in 2006. Now it is at the recessionary figure of 89.4. The ISM Manufacturing Sector's Diffusion Index is currently 46.9, which is below the expansion contraction line of 50. This diffusion index was in expansionary territory back in June of 06. The M2 money supply is now contracting for the first time in modern history. It is down 4.6% from last year. Of course, during 2006, the money supply was increasing. The net percentage of banks tightening lending standards back in June of 06 was negative 12.3%, meaning most banks were loosening lending standards back then. Today, 46% of banks are tightening lending standards. Finally, we now have two consecutive quarters of an earnings recession in S&P 500 stocks, whereas earnings were growing by 14% back in 2006. In other words, the economy was stronger in past times when the Fed paused hiking rates than it is today. Therefore, that should significantly shorten the time frame between when the Fed pause occurs and when the economic recession begins. That means instead of having a brief earnings recession that rebounds sharply in the coming quarters, as is predicted by Wall Street, the current mild recession should morph into a full-blown plunge very soon and last longer than anticipated. And that means this very narrow stock market rally should falter in spectacular fashion in the near term. Now, I know some of you are frustrated that asset prices have not collapsed yet in 2022. I am surprised too. My feelings tell me it should have happened already. I guess that is what happens when M2 money supply surges by 42%. It's one of the consequences when you take M2 up 42% in 2 years. And the Fed prints $400 billion in just 2 weeks in March to bail out the banking system. That's one of the ancillary consequences, is a more resilient stock market. It's just going to take more time for those consumers and businesses to eat through that savings cushion. Nevertheless, the facts are clear that the economy is heading for a recession and not a soft landing. Hence, we will continue to sit out the fear of missing out rally in a few tech stocks and wait for the better entry point to come. But given the high valuations and deteriorating economic indicators, why are we not aggressively shorting the market now? That's a legitimate question. Michael, if you're correct about all the things I just mentioned about what's being different between this pause and what happened in 06, and I am correct, then why not just short the market now? Because the inflation deflation economic cycle model that I created protects me from my own feelings of how bearish I think things should be. It has components that update daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly. 20 components, some of them update every day, some update every week, month, and quarter. The highly stochastic data points indicate that this is still not an appropriate time to get our portfolio positioning net short. In fact, we have only two small short positions. One is a very small position in short high yield, and one is an anti-beta ETF, which really is not a short. It's just what it says. It goes long stocks that have very low beta and goes short stocks that have very high beta. Thankfully, we closed out our direct shorts back in February. Meanwhile, we continued to collect dividends, a lot of dividends, in very safe bonds, the safest of bonds, and bond proxies, which spin off dividends, but have very low volatility and are very safe. They will be more resilient in this coming recession. And that makes the waiting for the inevitable and inescapable reality to hit much more bearable. Meanwhile, we wait for the IDEC model to signal when the market chaos is about to strike before bringing back on the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse, which is going significantly long the dollar, holding a lot of cash, going long in bonds, and of course, like I just said, increasing the shorts. Those are the only four things that really work. Physical gold can work for a time, but not if the liquidity crisis becomes acute. Miners get wiped out. It bears repeating the point I made last week. From March of 2000 through the fall of 2002, the NASDAQ lost 83% of its value during that vicious bear market. However, during that time frame, that same time frame, the NASDAQ had four rallies that ranged between 28% and 49%. Oh boy, the fear of missing out back then was particularly acute. But patience and following the business cycle paid off in a big way. Markets do not move in a linear fashion. The Fed has already done enough damage to cause a significant and trenchant recession to occur, both in the economy and in earnings. Chasing the rally in AI at this juncture should prove to be lethal to your financial future. Patience should be well rewarded.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.